Sometimes when you get words, it sounds all good when everyone gives you words, and they're like, well, that's a good word somebody just gave you. But then you have to, when it's the you that has to live it out, it's a little different. I think Justin gave me a word this morning. He says, oh, yeah, I see you when you preach today. It's like there's like you're skipping your mind. And Ruji, if you know me, I have a very quick mind. God's given me a very quick thought pattern. I can't think right now. So I'm like, Ruji is... As a minister, you're sitting there ready to like, hey, Lord, what do you want to do at first? And I'm like, whew, just experiencing him. So I'll just stick with some admin stuff here. So the conference, it didn't have on there. We actually also have, you have to understand, we normally don't charge for conferences because this isn't our conference. This is Breakthrough coming in, using our building, and we're hosting it here for them, but it's their call. And so, not that we're against them charging, we're just saying we love just blessing. And not, sorry, I don't want to make it sound like they're not blessing, but just want to let you know, it is worth it. Patricia King is coming, Stacey Campbell, now Wesley Campbell's coming. Sam Robinson's also coming, that's not on that list. Who else is on that list? There's like, I was talking to Sam on Thursday, he goes, why am I coming? There's so many people. But anyways, it's because God wants to do something. You guys, Lord, I just bless Breakthrough right now. They're coming and believing. And you guys, if you know anything about conferences, when you bring that many people in, they're risking it. They're risking it. Right now, I'll tell you, we have, I think, maybe 40 people registered. They have 40 people registered for this conference. So God needs to open the floodgates, right? Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. Brent wants to say hi. You know something's good happening in Russia when he phones you at 3:30 in the morning in Russia? Excited after talking. He was just talking to Sharon before that. Probably the first time I've heard Brent say this. He said, Kevin, I'll tell you what happened after in a second. But he goes, Kevin, it was so crazy. You got to get a hold of Ivan and even hear what he says. He's still wrecked. You know when it's that good for Brent? I'm really gonna look. Me and Brent are a little, he's very statesman. He's boom, he's the man of God, right? I'm a little crazy. I get excited, right? For Brent, this was like, reminded me of my, he was ecstatic on the phone yesterday. He was like, it's up to you if you want to share it. I don't want to brag, but no, wait a minute. We both like at the same time, no, it's God. We got to say what's going on. So you're all like, what's going on? Well, first of all, if you know Brent at all, and for those who don't know, Brent carries a very apostolic prophetic call, and he makes it look easy as he gets crazy words. So as he's in Russia, it's one thing calling out, is there a John in the room? But it's a different thing when he starts getting Russian names. He's been getting Russian names and dates for those names, Russian names. But who knows that God likes signs and wonders? And you know that we don't glorify the sign, but we glorify where it's coming from, right? But God loves signs and wonders. He loves to make us wonder how good he is. So this is what happens, and hopefully Brent might share better his way, but he's told me to share this. So much has been happening. It's been crazy, but this, you'll love this, because I'm believing this for our house. Not because we need him to do this, just because he's a good dad, and I love it if he does it for us too. So he's ministering, doing his stuff, and yes, again, if you're new to this house, Brent's a seer, so he sees stuff, so he sees odd things quite often. And so he sees this light come, boom, and hits down onto in front of the stage there into a point. But no one else seemed to notice it, so he kind of just kept on preaching. But of course, he's kind of focused there. In his mind, this is what he told me. He thought maybe it was an angel, but he's not seeing really anything other than that. And he's going, okay, like, I know what it's like. Sometimes you feel like you're just a little losing it. Is it my jet lag? Like, just, we're real, right? Let's be real. We don't, supernatural coming to the natural is awesome, but it's different. So he sees, and all of a sudden, a guy later on, while he's ministering, still gets up and walks over to that spot. So Brent's, knowing Brent, he's very intrigued then. He's like, what's he doing? The guy picks up a diamond. Now, you go, well, that could be a coincidence. The problem was that 19 more came down and have them in a bag. Now, you're saying, well, why is the preacher talking about a diamond? Because God's good. 19, literally, lights flat. Like, literally, they all happened the same way. Boom, a light came, and they were in place. It wasn't like, oh, somebody back there found. It was pretty much in the same place. So they all scoured the ground, and all of a sudden, another one, boom! And the crazy thing is they didn't bounce. They'd actually fall, boom, and stay in one spot. And they'd pick another one up, go, and it would happen again. And everyone's freaking out. But in the midst of all this, Brent brings up a word of knowledge for somebody, and there's a lady there, and she, it looks like there's, this is Brent's interpretation, he's given this word, and he keeps on watching how there's gold growing. To him, it looks like it's getting more and more in her face. So he asks the interpreter, can you ask her if she's wearing glittery makeup? And the interpreter asks her, and she's like, yep. So he's like, oh, Brent's like, okay, you might as well ask, right? Because, but he, in his mind, he's going, it's growing, but whatever. And all of a sudden, the interpreter goes, oh, hold on a second, it's all over her arm now. Well, then what happened is people started yelling in the room, going, they have gold all over them, too. Now, this is, you have to remember, this is a group that doesn't experience this. Come on. I've been in this, I've seen it, I believe it, but I want it more. But this is freaking, the glory of God is in the room. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a room when signs and wonders start happening, when it's so notable that you can't deny with your mind anymore. Yeah. There's an awe that comes. Well, that wasn't even the end of it. While this is all happening, oil starts dripping off of people. Now, I'm not going to, this is not my teaching, but you can go find all the teachings. There is, those three items are specifically, you can even prove out of scripture why they come, what they are. They're just glorifying God. They didn't stop and worship the diamonds. They didn't stop. What they did was say, God, we exalt you. We exalt you. And guess what happened when they exalt you? It gets crazier. And if you don't know, oh, what I love about those things, and even hearing Brent on the phone yesterday, is because it's not like, Kevin, there was this crazy, look how good we are. No, it's like, oh my word. It is humbling. Because there's one thing we've learned. We can prophesy over people. We can get words of knowledge, healing. There's teaching, you can do that. I can't make a diamond show up. I can't make gold show up. What Lord impressed so much on me is he's honoring the ministry. He's honoring Brent. He's honoring those people that they have a hunger. Lord, release a hunger. I want a greater hunger in this room and the people that Russia has. Lord, I pray there'd be such a hunger, because that's the key. I know so many people that minister around the world that see stuff like this is always hunger. It's the hunger. And it's not getting caught up in the sign and the wonder. We got to know the Joshua Mills a little bit. The cool thing about Joshua Mills is, if you don't know him, we call him the gold man, because he literally will have nothing on him and he's about to minister, or gold will just come over him. But if you get to know him, the thing is what I just brought up, and that's one reason I learned this, is it's so humbling, because people bring him all over the world because he's a sign and a wonder, but he can't make it happen. So he gets up here and it doesn't happen. Next time it does. And what it does is it drives him to go, God, you're just holier. Because when you realize it's not about you, you can step out of the way and things happen. So Brent, and miracles broke out. Like, honestly, Brent is going to come back very excited. Very excited. I don't think it's a coincidence we're moving into this conference. God is blessing us. So tell your friends. And as much as it may sound like a lot, $39, honestly, for that kind of speakers, those kind of people, that's just honor. Because they get blessed. I could tell you right now, if 300-400 people come in here, $39 still won't cover what all those people are going to cost them. So don't get surprised when they do an offering. Whew, come on. Come on. Oh, I wasn't going to say this. I'm going to talk to Brent before I was going to. But and it's sweet, because we're not taking another offering. It's just, I'm going to tell you, and I won't. I'm not one of those guys, oh, I'm not taking it, but now God says to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I just feel it. If you get around us, and those who are in leadership here know something, like Barbara's brought up, we do so much around. Brent's in Russia right now. Some of those trips, they pay the flight. Sometimes they don't. If God tells our ministry he's supposed to go and sow in, he sows in. We've been working with Ivan for years. We have two churches in Alberta. We have one in Saskatchewan. Brent just told me that which you guys don't even know, in December, after he got back from Australia and New Zealand, he instantly pretty much went down the border here, because there was an incident with the church and their senior leader left with somebody, and so God used Brent. Brent never even met these guys. Went in there with Sharon for 3 days, literally transformation, and they are now want to be underneath Windward too. We're not trying to get people under Windward. We have, from understand, between Mexico and Colombia, we have about 30 churches. 30. We are doing stuff all over the world. Brent is just in Korea. I can't even keep track of where he is. We just try to keep moving. But I'll tell you why I said this. Is because if you get to know us, we are not the ministry that asks for money all the time. I have no idea. This was not my message at all. I just literally, I don't know where I'm going here. I just feel it so strong in my spirit. Yes, Call it a dream, vision, I don't care. Whatever makes you feel better. I like to call my visions dreams so that people don't think I'm crazy. It's just easier that way. People can understand a dream, but they can't. A vision, I don't know. But take it as you want. But I literally, again, I have not permission, but I know it'll be okay. I literally, this is what I saw myself in a dream, vision. I sometimes do a Facebook Live thing for Windward, and this is what I did. I'll demonstrate. I watched myself. I said, hey, this is another, basically Windward. Hey, we're excited, da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, this came out of my mouth. I said, you haven't seen us do this before. And I have you haven't seen us, and we have been shy about doing this. But there's something has changed, and we're going to change our pattern. And you're going to see more of it. And this is what we're going to do, is because we're changing the world, and it's a time for you to invest in what we're doing. And it's a time to be unashamedly asking and contending and saying, you can sow into what God is doing in the nations right here. You can sow because it's going into good ground, because we know that we are a pure stream as hard as we try. Yeah. And I shocked myself. And I was going to talk to Brent about that. But we have to, because the Lord said we're unashamedly. We know what we're doing. I know he'll be fine with it. We have so many means. We know we're supposed, because this is something that's come up in the past. We know, but we just don't want to be known as the guys just ask for money. But we're not. And that's not what we're going to start doing either. But we are, I think, what I'm going to believe. I actually really know we will. Because Brent will be on it. We're going to start making more aware of the needs we have. Because there's people that have, what we're doing is changing lives. I can tell you, people that sow into stuff, they see a blessing. You guys, there's a blessing. I can tell you, if I could only teach people this without making it sound like, because I'm a pastor and I want your money, you can't lose tithing. You can't lose giving. I could tell you so many stories. I don't even share the stories of my life because people get mad at me. I can boldly say I tithe and we go beyond. And we live a supernatural lifestyle. I might offend some people right now, but I live in a beautiful home. Beautiful home that I should never be able to afford. If you take myself, it doesn't make sense. We have nice things. I literally, Dawn and I looked at our last year. I'm just boldly proclaiming God. I'm not boldly, because I'm not taking an offering, guys. I'm making a holy jealousy here. Because it comes from sowing. Literally last year, I bought a toy hauler, which is an RV. And I was looking through some stuff, because we were already looking at some taxes. I have no idea how we paid for that. I have no understanding. It doesn't line up. But I have learned not to try to figure out. I went to 4.5 years of business administration at Trinity Western University. I took up to third year accounting. I know bookkeeping. I can do that. I don't do it anymore because it messes me up. You know what I love about the prophetic? When you call things that are non-existent, they happen. When you sow properly and you actually sow with expectations to sow and to reap you, that is a kingdom mindset. Do you realize the Bible was written with agricultural understanding? Again, I'm not taking an offering. Isn't this great? This would be a great offering, but we're not doing it. We're not, for real. And so when you sow, you reap. But you have to put something in the ground. It's interesting because I'll be really open. I'm way not anywhere where I'm going. But I just love testifying God's goodness. So Sam Robinson, a good friend of mine, we were at our house after the last conference he was here. Well, if you know Sam and I, we're both quite alike in the sense that we get excited and we love to see blessing over each other. Like literally, we will pull on heaven on each other to find out what God wants to do so we can bring into being. I'm going to be really real with you. He said some crazy stuff to me, even about finances, blessing stuff. And I loved it. You're in the moment. You're like, this is crazy. This is awesome. And he said something. I'll be careful what I say here. But he actually asked me something about, no names, but he asked me something about somebody that I know. And they said, hey, is that person, which is odd. He was a close friend of mine. He said, hey, is that person sowed into your life? And I actually, to be honest, took a little bit of offense. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know they're very close friends of ours. They would bless us if we were ever in trouble. He's like, no, don't worry about that. He got on me and he goes, just by the way, God's going to get on him because he hears from God and he's going to sow something because he's going to break open a blessing. Now, this is just a teaching, just learning from my own life. So literally, but he said all these other great things. And you know what was cool during that? It was a period right in my living room. We went downloaded, boom, boom, boom. And he literally, a bunch of it, at the same time he said that, he gave me another huge word that it was awesome, and personal stuff, but he also said stuff about our church. I want you to know this, because confirmation is awesome. He kept on, he had the words about how we were going to multiply, how even next year was going to be huge, da 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 da, which is awesome. The reason I say that is because December 22nd was the day we left. We get a phone call. Somebody wants this person to say, that person phones up, hey, I need to stop by and drop something off. Dude, I tell people this because it just ticks people off. They just dropped off. They didn't tell us why. It was just because God wanted it. Here's $1,000. Why not? I've had phone calls. I want to get you guys excited. It's not about money, but what happens is that he wants you blessed. And I don't even care about the money. Honestly, that's one of the best parts. If you don't care about the money, because in this sense, I'll tell you, it's the coolest part what God showed me this time is usually he brings finances in when I need it. I didn't really need the $1,000. I love the $1,000, but I didn't need it. It wasn't like, oh, thank you, Jesus, you brought in the last moment. We're doing good. That's God. I've had phone calls like this before, and I love this because people know it's 100% fact. Phone call, I was in need. Didn't tell anybody. Hey, hello? Hey, Kevin, do you need some money? I don't know. Why are you asking? I definitely did. Well, it's really strange. So-and-so came in over, and they said they want to give you $5,000 because I'm dropping it off in a couple minutes. Come on. We got to expect. God is changing mindsets. I don't know why I even shared that. There was somebody in this room. Be blessed. I could go on and on. Man, I've gone in. God supplies all our needs according to his riches. Wow. This is like interesting considering I have like a great message. Check this out. I have this message and I have this message. Praise God. We are a new creation. I'm not going to keep you that long. I'm actually going to nail something. So let's open up to Mark. Got to get some scripture. I always got to get scripture. You know, that's one of the biggest things the devil hits me at? Because I grew up in the church, is that when I'm pressing for a message, God always says, go for it. I've called you to be a preacher. Go for it. And I'm like, no, I got to work on I got to get every verse. Because I need more verses because people are going to think there's not enough verses. The Lord told me this week, he goes, Kevin, that's the way the devil gets you. He throws you off. He gets you so concerned about your verses. I mean, I'm all for the Bible. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, okay, I am huge into two wings. Henry Schmidt, Word, Spirit. This will blow some of you Word people really up. In the book of Acts, they didn't have any, really, the Word. They had the Old Testament. So they had to rely 100% almost on the Spirit. What we're living today is the Holy Spirit at action. The crazy thing is Acts was never supposed to end. So, Mark 12:28. This is like the end of my message. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and second like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. I'll tell you, because I'm not going to get to it, my message today was about you are no longer a sinner, you're a saint. Okay? And I was going to break it down really, really well with every scripture verse you could ever have, and so you can finally tell people why you believe that. No, that's all. Really, I feel like quite often as a charismatic church, we have slogans. I'm a saint! Well, actually, Paul says that he was fighting his flesh. Well, maybe I'm not a saint. Maybe I'm still a sinner. Well, I don't have much time. Well, we'll do this another time. But if you look at it, you're actually reading out of context. Because in chapter 7, he's actually talking about it before he was saved and before Jesus came in his life. That's one of the biggest misconceptions in the church, that we were fighting our flesh. And now I'm giving you a whole bunch of information without giving you much. But, okay, back to those verses. So we are called. They came and asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? They were trying to trick him. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you cannot love your neighbor very well if you don't love yourself. If you believe you're a sinner and believe that you're a wretched, and if you believe that you are not God's precious child, that you haven't become a new creation, it is pretty hard to change the atmosphere with people around you. You have to have the mindset that you are a new creation. I'll give you a verse for that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, and all things have become new. All things are new. You're a new creation. When you learn that you are a new creation, you change your mindset. You realize if you are a child of God, you carry the kingdom of God. It says, out of your bellies flow rivers of life. You are a new creation. I'm trying to give you without messing people up here. 2 Timothy 1:7, you don't have to throw them all up, I'll try to go fast. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. Some of you guys, honestly, you sometimes have to talk, you have to speak it out until you believe it. There's people in this room that need to get out and run and go like good old Billy Graham, go in the forest and declare, I have the mind of Christ. I don't know if that's what he declared. I mean, he went into the forest and said he found God and he changed eternity, right? Life. Well, that sounds like he's Jesus, but he changed a lot of people's lives. Clarify, this is live. Billy Graham did awesome. He's doing awesome. You know he's still alive? Come on, I love that. Oh, man. The flesh is weak but not corrupt. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Come on, your flesh, your spirit's not corrupt. You're a new creation. Ephesians 6:12. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You're fighting a spiritual battle. I know Brent's nailed this. I just felt I was so going, God, this is 2018, the new first Sunday. To me, I love it because I think prophetically, and I love seasons, times. I was like, God, I don't want to be that guy that just gets up constantly and be like, oh, now there's a new season, it's 2018. And he says, why not? Do you wonder why we have years? Maybe God gave us that idea so that we can actually have some sort of reset, so we give ourselves some hope. You know what I mean? That's what I felt this week when I was talking to him. He's like, maybe stop worrying about what people think, and maybe I was, my plan was in this. You know, God's heart is so good. He could let us live for 900,000 years on the earth, but he knows that we're longing for heaven. That's what we were tended to in the garden. If you look in, oh, I'm going to jump too much, to my other message. Oh, wow, 50. Praise God. If we really are new believers, new creations, we no longer battle with flesh and blood, then how is it the believers still sin? Right? That's the big question. How come we still sin? Are you now as a new creation, are you fighting your old man? No. I love it. Chris Bolton breaks it down. He says this question. He asks the audience. Here it is. Was Adam and Eve sinners? Good question. Nope. Why? Because it says, Genesis 1:3, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. He said they were good. Does he call sin good? No, they weren't. So what allowed Adam and Eve to sin? Free will. They were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge. You have a free will to sin, but you're not made a sinner. Now, when we fell, we were born sinful, right? But Jesus made that all right. He made a way so that we could be a new creation. And so when you, I'll be careful here because I haven't studied enough on this because I've been rocked by this. Because if you really process a little bit, when we get baptized in that tank or wherever, the word says that we come out a new creation. We're new. So without getting into it, maybe if you haven't been baptized, break off the lies of the devil that you don't need to, and it's scary, get baptized. Because I'm not saying it's the only way it happens. It's just what scripture says is that's when you come out alive and you become a new creation. And so when I become a new creation, my old man died in what was that tank, but another tank. It died. Well, if something's dead, you can't bring it alive. God can make anything alive if he wants to, but he doesn't like that stuff, so he leaves that dead. I love what Chris Walton talks about. If you are a sinner, because you keep on wanting to think you're a sinner because you're, oh, I'm fighting my old man. No, your old man's dead. That's actually the analogy Chris Walton uses, is you literally have to go down to the graveyard, dig it up, and then you walk around with it. But again, are you even fighting it? It's dead. There's a bunch of bones. It's dead. It's no longer alive. So this is the crazy thing, and I can break it down, and I will one week, is literally if you have God and you become a new creation, I'm born again, I'm a new creation, my old man is dead, and I come alive, that thing is dead. So what happens? I have the mind of Christ. I have no longer a desire for sin. I love these verses. Let me see if I can find that one. I love it because it actually shows, oh boy. There's verses that literally say, as a believer, you have no desire for sin. Well, whatever. Trust me, I can talk to you afterwards if you don't believe me. It's in John, 1 John. It could be in this message. But I want to get the point across because I don't want to hold it. So if it's dead and you have a new creation, this is the killer that messes the devil. Was not waiting. If you can get this very concept, and I dare you to go study it. I dare you to, because it will change the way you are. If you have the mind of Christ and you have no old man to fight, the devil is very smart. But the devil lost all his authority. Do you guys know that? All of his authority. I'll tell you something though. He's still smart, and this will mess you up a bit. He does have some power, but no authority. Now, the devil doesn't like it. I love God. This is a sidetrack for a second, but God ticked off the devil. Okay? What did the devil fall for? Because he wanted to be like God. He was sent, from we understand, down to the earth. We don't even know how long he was down here for. And then all of a sudden, God makes awesome earth here with us and fills the voids and puts Adam and Eve in. What was the devil would have had to hear this. He said this, let's make them in our own image. Oh, that must have ticked the devil off. He gave us exactly what the devil wanted. Isn't that crazy? So the devil's mad because now Justin is more powerful than the devil. Now, the only way he can mess with, if he understands it, see, he's smart. He knows Justin's more powerful. So if he can convince Justin needs to fight his old man, because he knows that he can't beat Justin because he's a new creation. So he can throw thoughts in his mind. And the crazy thing is, if Justin believes it's him, there's no one more powerful in Justin's life other than God than himself. So you start having a wrestling fight with somebody you can't win with. How do you fight yourself? You just keep on punching. One punch, the next one punches. It goes back and forth. If you can get that understanding that if you have a new creation and you have the mind of Christ, any thought, get this, any thought that does not line up with the kingdom of God is not yours. Because you actually do not think or process in a sinful flesh, in a sinful understanding. Now, if you can learn to catch that, it'll change your entire life. Even, don't even talk about sin, even the thoughts that you're not good enough, and the thoughts that you can't do something, even the thoughts that, this is a good one. The thought, I think Sebastian's mad at me. I don't know why Sebastian's mad, maybe he has a problem. You know how we do this? Maybe that's why he said that last time. It's just making up stuff in my mind. But that's what happens. We do that. Honestly, I don't understand why I seem to be a target of this. I got a call this week, and I'm not going to use names, and they're not in this room, and he'd be fine if I said it, because I loved on him. I got this call. I get the strangest calls sometimes, and this actually happens more than you think. Kevin, I need to tell you something. I'm like, okay. I've been having a really hard time. Okay. Well, that's too bad. Yeah, I just want to tell you, because I don't know what else to do. I want to break this, so I want to let you know that I've been judging you like crazy. I know it's not true, because I know you and we're friends, but for some reason, I have this whole judgment between, actually this time it was between about me and Brent. And he goes, I just want to phone you to tell you. The first time that happened, I was a little weirded out. It's like now I just like, you know what? That's awesome, buddy. I don't have anything against you. I love you. You're great. And he's free from it. And he can deal with it. That's his problem. Because like, you know what's cool is when you realize and you love Jesus, if you know who you are, what people say about you, who cares? Because Jesus, if you have a true, when you get to know God, you know your own motives. Somebody can attack you all they want, and you can look straight at them and say, I'll take the blame. Take the blame. If it's between you and God, who cares? God knows you're not wrong or didn't mean to do it. And guess what? We accidentally hurt people sometimes. So own up to it. We don't need to. Like, just let's declare over this year that we quickly deal with problems. Let's make this a safe place to fail. This week in prayer, I just want to declare this. Because, no, I believe this because we have to. I actually believe that this place is going to erupt. And one reason is because we're going to learn that and take some of the stuff we're teaching and actually start living it more. Because this has to. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, let's deal with issues fast. But this is crazy. Let's actually let some issues happen. What do you mean, Kevin? What I mean is let's create a place that just because we might have said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing or stepped out on the wrong thing, that we can work through it in love. That it's not like, oh, now you got to go to the penalty box. Another thing I love throwing out stuff for people to study. Go study and tell me that consequences are God's idea. Consequences. We love. Dude, man, I love them. I grew up there. Well, that person sinned. They wouldn't have had an affair, but they got forgiven, and they were doing good, but now there's consequences. The kids have to have problems. That's actually not in God's mind at all. The word actually says he forgets. We hate this. I hate this. Honestly, I fight with this all the time because I want the consequences of that person. They screwed up. There has to be consequences. Well, that's why so-and-so is struggling with their finances because he shouldn't have done that thing and this thing. No, that's us speaking junk. If it's really erased, it's done with. If they're truly forgiven, see, we have to stop thinking with this mind and start asking God what his mind thinks. He thinks so beyond our realm of understanding. He sees this big picture. That's why David's story messes you up. Where's his consequences? How can that man have the heart of God? Maybe because God looks at the heart. Now, God is not for people doing stupid things. But when somebody truly repents in their heart, it says it's gone, it's done. He cannot remember. You're not going to get, I've been talking to some people, and I just want to break this off the church, and it's so hard when you meet people that don't understand the kingdom culture. But I just want to break off the church that you're not going to have, as a believer, you're not going to have a judgment day that God's going to bring up all your sins in front of everybody in the world that was ever born. It doesn't say that. To be honest, the judgment seat is set up for sinners, those who have not repented and not followed him. You're redeemed. There's some teaching that goes so far, it just ticks me off, to be honest. Well, you might not make it to heaven if you're driving on the road and you think bad about the driver and then you crash and die. Come on. No, for real, that is teaching out there. Read the Bible. This whole Bible is about God from the beginning to the end, about how to make sure that we can be redeemed. He's made every way possible so that you can be saved. He didn't make it hard. He made it as easy as he could. Oh, man. God is so, you guys, even when I shared up here earlier, if we could just realize how much we're loved, how much our purpose here on earth is actually for a purpose. I think our biggest rewards will be for the fact of how many, I'm not even worried about how many people, how did you impact, how did you show people my love? I don't think it's about how many people you actually led to the Lord. How many people, when you came into their sphere, that you showed God who I am properly. He is looking. God is raising up people. Literally, I believe that we're in a time where gifting is coming crazier. Like, right? It's amazing. But this is what I want to see, and I want to really believe this for our ministry. Because the Lord spoke to me the other day. He goes, Kevin, how come every time when somebody actually chooses, because it's open to everybody. It's open to everybody. God's kingdom is ready for everybody that hungers. So what happens is that the young woman or young guy or older guy, young guy, whatever guy, person gets in the secret place, gets to know Jesus, and they get heaven on them. And God's telling them, you're going to change the media. You're going to change the Hollywood. And then they come, and then we see this, and we get them to stand up and prophesy, no, you have a crazy prophetic gift and miracles. Get on the pulpit. That's what we do. He asked me that. Why do you guys do that? And he answered for me. He goes, you know why? Because there's too few doing it. That we're so looking for, desperate to find posts to look at, signposts. But I believe I believe what he was sharing to me was that to believe for more. We have to raise up, and that's what this ministry believes in, raising up not just people to come in full-time. You're all in full-time ministry. Chris Walton, if you listen to the last message he shared, I don't want to butcher it, but he pretty much was, if we're called into the kingdom, then when people ask him, when did you start ministry? He said, I think he got saved at 17 or something. He says, well, at 17 years old, I started ministry because I'm called to do the works of the kingdom. Because Bill Johnson was his mentor at the time, and that's what he learned from day one. It's not being up here. It's not having an office in a church. It's not. You're in ministry every day. You know what? You have the right to say, if it's your choice, if you truthfully, if you really realize who you are and what you're called to, people ask you, find out when you were born. I was born again at the age of, I'll be honest, it was about 3 or 4. My mom always forgets. So I could say, what doesn't matter? I'm 30, how old am I? 36. So 33 years. Oh, maybe it's my year to die, because Jesus, no, just kidding. I'm ready. Come on. Imagine we were people that truly were not scared to die. Chris brought that point up. We say it, we love it, but when he talks about some people he knows that truly are not scared to die, it's scary being with those people. Even when you're not scared to die, you think, because they really are not scared, and they're ready to go for it. Well, it's 12 o'clock. God is good. Praise God. Lord, thank you for this new year. Lord, I thank you that we have your mind, and I declare that over us, that each one of us have a purpose for our lives, and it affects those around us. It affects those around us, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, right now you're commissioning people. Lord, I believe even in the next weeks to come, if people choose, I believe your Spirit is saying that if you choose, he'll give you the purpose papers. I see them in spirit. It's literally, if you choose, there's just an opening. I actually believe it's always, but if you, there's just, this is to stir you up to go for it. But if you choose to come before him, he's going to remind you. But before I challenge you, before you spend time with the Lord, remind yourself of who you are. Remind yourself you do not need to spend an hour telling the Lord about all your sins. He doesn't want to know about your sins. He says, confess that they're gone. You're a new creation. You are not fighting that old flesh. So when those thoughts come, we take them captive and say, they're not mine. And you know what? There's other thoughts. The Lord just reminded me. There's thoughts like, pay for that person's groceries in front of you. Yeah, that's God, not your mind. The devil doesn't want you to pay for people's groceries. He doesn't want you to show God's love. Whenever it has something to do with something that you have to step out of your box, I can tell you the devil's not going to ask you to lead somebody to the Lord. He doesn't want you to show love. And I'll tell you, it probably isn't your mind either. It probably isn't. It might be. And hey, if you have that mind, that's awesome. Come hang around me. No, just kidding. Jesus, you're so good. Lord, we just declare this year, Lord, is a year of a breakthrough, that we're stepping in. We're no longer going to, we don't want to just look at the tomb and hope you're out of there. Lord, we believe you're out of that tomb because it's empty. And we look beyond that and say, Lord, what are we called to do? Lord, we are walking in the book in Acts, because it's Acts for a reason. We're acting out the kingdom. And so, Lord, I thank that every person that says this room, because your word says that we have the Holy Spirit, that every person has what they need. Every person has what they need. So, Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.